My dear Christian friend, have you ever found it difficult, well nigh impossible, to go on? Have you ever wondered why your strength fails you? Well, there is a way for weak Christians to be strong. There is a way for the tired to be vigorous. There is a way for the discouraged to be encouraged. And there is a way for the defeated to be victorious. And of course, that way is to get our eyes upon the Lord, to lift our eyes heavenward, and to look to Him who sits upon the throne, who is the sovereign Lord of glory, the one who fainteth not, neither is weary. Now, of course, our God is the everlasting God. We aren't coming before a God of wood or stone this morning. We aren't praying to someone who has been carved out of wood or stone by some craftsman. We aren't bowing down to sun or moon or stars, as many do, but we're coming this morning before the everlasting God. As the Bible refers to Him here, He is the Creator of the ends of the earth. Everything that is made, all that has been made by the mighty God who is our God today, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but also our God. Now, first of all, this morning, I want us to consider the character or the nature of our God. What kind of a God is the God whom we worship and adore today? Well, our text in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, tells us, first of all, that He fainteth not. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He fainteth not. That is, He is never discouraged. Oh, you know how you and I get discouraged. I know it back at home in Londonderry, where I minister, where I've been for over 10 years now. When I first went there to that congregation, well, they felt that they were a neglected part of the Lord's vineyard, that nobody anywhere else cared about them. I'm sure it wasn't true, but this is the kind of feeling that I got from them, that nobody ever cared about Londonderry. It was a forgotten Northwest Territory, as it were, and it wasn't much bothered about. And I found myself being set into a ministry which was a ministry mostly of encouragement, seeking to lift up the saints, to buoy them up and to encourage them and to help them and to keep them pressing on the upward way despite all the attacks of the devil and despite all the efforts of hell and despite all the circumstances that so discouraged them day after day. I found myself in this ministry of encouragement. And of course, the people of God do get discouraged. The old devil, he sees to that. He sees to that. My, it's the devil's work to get the people of God depressed, to get them looking down upon the circumstances, to get them looking on the black side, to get their hearts drooping and get them discouraged and defeated and giving up and throwing in the towel. That's the devil's work. That's the way the devil works against the people of God. But the God of heaven, I want you to see, He's never discouraged. The word says, He fainteth not. Mr. Spurgeon, in his lectures to his students, devotes a chapter entirely to the minister's fainting fits. And you know, if you talk to any minister, I don't care who he is, if he's really honest, and many ministers should be really honest, shouldn't they? If he's really honest, he'll admit that on Monday mornings he's got many a blue Monday. That many a time he picks up the Saturday evening paper and looks to see if there are any jobs that would suit him, that he might change his occupation. I know ministers have done that. Many a time I came home in the early days in Londonderry, and as I was in Kilkeel for 4.5 years. I had a very fine new building which we built. We had lovely people. I really enjoyed the place. I was very much at home. And Mr. Cairns, it was in charge of Londonderry, and he rang me up one day and said to me, "Would you be interested in a call at Londonderry?" And I said, "No, I wouldn't, thank you very much. I'm not at all interested." Well, he said, they want to call somebody and they have your name. Well, I said, I suppose if that's the case, then I can't say I won't go, what I will say is that I'll think about it and I'll pray about it sincerely and carefully. And all the time I was hoping, I hope the call doesn't come to me. And then one night he rang up and he said, James, brother, we had the meeting in Londonderry tonight and the call was issued and it's to you. Well, that was the kind of news I didn't want to hear. But however, the call came and I had to pray about it. And as I prayed about it, the next week or two, the Lord very clearly showed me that Londonderry was the place for me. For he gave me a text and he said to me, you see, in Northern Ireland we only have three cities, Belfast, Londonderry and Armagh. We have three cities, three which have got royal charter as cities. And the Lord brought me to that verse in Acts, which says, go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. Well, I said, well, that's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? That couldn't be it, really. That's not the one. And I said, well, we'll wait a while longer. And so I waited a while longer, and then one Sunday morning in Kilkeel, I was conducting the service at the Lord's table, and I turned to a portion in the Gospels that I never had turned to before for this situation, nor have I ever turned to since at the Lord's table. And I just turned to it out of the blue, as it were, to me. It was, of course, providential. And as I stood there at the Lord's table reading this portion, there came that verse, that instruction to the disciples to go to the city and prepare the upper room for the supper. And just the words, go to the city. And at that moment in time, standing yonder in the front of Kilkeel Church, at that moment in time, I knew. At that moment I knew, well, my friend, you're leaving Kilkeel, you're for Londonderry. And so I went to Londonderry. Now, I forget why I told you all that. I was telling you that for a reason. Now, I forget why I told you it. Anyway, yes, I know why I told you. Many a time in those early days in Londonderry, when we had a very small church, many a time on a Sunday evening, I went into the pulpit in those days, and there were 12 people in the pews. 12 Christians at the gospel service. It's a bit better now, I'm glad to say, but that's how it was in those early days. And many a time, I come home on a Sunday evening, and I want to be honest. I was just depressed. I was discouraged, I felt like quitting, I felt like giving up, and I had many a blue Monday. And any preacher in that situation who says otherwise, well, I would put a big question mark against his honesty. We do get depressed, we do get discouraged, the devil sees to it. When things don't go the way we think they ought to go, when things don't go as they should go, and when there's opposition and discouragement, we get downhearted. But listen, my friends, the Lord says here that our God, He never faints. He is never discouraged. You see, this God of ours, He has eternal patience in working out His plans. If you look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, you'll see there the Lord's plan. The Lord has a plan, and you know this plan of the Lord is going to be worked out. And it's going to be fulfilled absolutely to the very last T. At no device of the devil, at no work of Satan, will ever thwart this great eternal plan of our God. Romans 8 verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now watch this. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now there we have the Lord's great eternal plan of salvation. You know, the Lord, the God of heaven, knows absolutely and exactly everyone who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He knows everyone who'll be reached by a gospel tract. He knows everyone who'll be reached via the radio ministry. He knows everyone who'll come into a gospel service and hear the word of God and be convicted and saved. He knows everyone down yonder in South America who only can be reached by the missionary radio broadcast. He knows every precious soul yonder in the darkness of the forest who will hear the word of God and believe. He knows every precious soul yonder in India who will somehow be reached by a minister or a Christian worker or a gospel broadcast and will be brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. The Lord Jesus, the God of heaven, knows every one of them. He knows them all. There's not a precious soul upon this earth at any time that the Lord knows will be saved who will not be saved. The Lord knows them all. He knows everyone who will trust Christ. Furthermore, I want to say that He determines to save them. All those who will be reached by gospel tracts, He will put someone across their path who will give them a gospel tract. He has determined to save them. All those who will hear a gospel radio broadcast, praise God, He will have it so wrought that they will hear. A few years ago down there in somewhere in South America, some of those countries, a man was fed up with life, decided to quit, give up. He decided to commit suicide. He locked himself in his room. He got the gas pipe. He got the meter filled with money for the gas. He opened the pipe. He began the business of gassing himself. And of course he felt that, well, when it came near the time to die, that he might begin to scream and to make a noise, and he wouldn't have just the courage for it. And so he thought, well, I'll turn on the radio set nice and loud. It'll drown the noise of me yelling or panicking, and nobody will hear, and nobody will come to my rescue. And he turned on the radio. Lo and behold, the radio voice began to preach out a gospel message and to ask the question, are you ready to die? What will happen to you after you die? And there and then, that little lonely room, that man was convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he was saved by the grace of God. You see, the Lord knew he would be saved. And the Lord so wrought out circumstances that he heard the word of God and he was saved. And can't you and I say in ourselves, if we consider our own lives carefully, how the Lord watched over us, how the Lord sought us, and how the Lord brought us at last to salvation. A little poem I used to have in my Bible said, determined to save you, he watched o'er your path, while Satan's blind slave you cheated with death. But finally the Lord came and saved us and caught up with us. Yes, he determines to save them. And so he seeks them, and he calls them, and he saves them. Just as the word says here, whom he did foreknow, them he also justified. Whom he justified, praise God, them someday he will also glorify. And every one of us who know Christ, every one of us who are saved by the grace of God, every one of us who are washed in the blood, praise God, someday we shall be glorified in heaven. God will see to it. Oh, you and I might think we'll never see it. You and I might feel, well, we'll never make it. You and I might think, well, we can't keep this thing. We'll give up. But the God of heaven who has saved us and justified us in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, he will bring us at last to glory. For he is working out his eternal purpose and salvation. And so it is with every other of God's eternal purposes. He never gets discouraged. When he sees sinners hardening their heart, when he sees the world turning its back on him, when he sees men doing what they ought not to do, the God of heaven does not faint or get discouraged, for his eternal plan is working out, and he will see to it. Then, I want you to see again, concerning the character or nature of this God of ours, that while he is never discouraged, nor is he ever tired. He is never tired. The word says that this everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He is never weary. May I just refer for a moment, please, to a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 5, just to make a brief comparison. John chapter 5, verse 17. I think it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's saying, yes, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So you see, the Lord is never tired. He never tires of running the universe. I like to look at the stars. And very often on a winter evening or late at night, when I'm driving from our studio home to where I live, and they're 40 miles apart, I drive over the mountains yonder at Coleraine. And just on the summit of the mountain is a very good place to look at the heavens, because there's no towns or villages or cities nearby. There's no other lights. It's a good dark place, and the stars seem to sparkle out like the emeralds, clearer than at any other time. And many times I just pull in the car at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or sometimes 2 in the morning, just stop for 5 minutes, get out of the car and turn off the lights and just look up at the heavens. Now, I can't name many of the stars. I can't. I don't understand or I don't recognize many of the constellations. I can just about find the North Star. And as you call the Big Dipper, we call it the Plough, but that doesn't matter. You'll learn eventually what to call it properly. But I look up at the stars and I'm always amazed at how they're always in the same position relative one to the other. And I just look and I say, well, you know, they've been there these thousands of years. And you know, nobody has to sort of say to them now, you shine there, fella, that's your spot, and don't forget to shine. They always shine. And then no matter when I come along, they're always doing it. Always shine. So it goes on, day after day, night after night, either. And so it has been for since God made them, all the time. So will the sun. You don't have to blow a bugle in the morning and say to the sun, now it's time to get up. It does it every morning. Up every morning in the east, down east, night in the west. That's how it goes. Up in the east, down in the west. Every day. Never have to say, now sun, don't forget to shine today. Don't forget to rise and don't forget to set. So with the moon, so with all the planets. Because the Lord has the whole thing in control. He has it all worked out. And He's keeping it all just running over and ticking over exactly as it should. And He never tires of it. He never tires of running the universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the world, everything else. He runs them all. And He never tires of it. He never tires of hearing and answering prayer. I never come on my knees and seek the Lord in prayer and find that, well, God is too busy or God is too tired and doesn't want to hear. He always has an ear for the prayers of His people. When there comes a broken, sorrowing heart, He always has an ear for their need. When there comes a servant of God who is going through the mill and needs to be encouraged and helped and strengthened, praise God, He is always there. And when there gathers a church of God's people who need to pray over some specific item or some particular thing of the Lord's work, praise God, He's always there. He never tires of hearing and answering prayer. Praise God, our God never tires. He never tires of calling and saving precious souls. I've never yet seen a precious soul come and get upon his knees and come to the Lord for His mercy and forgiveness and salvation, and found the Lord would turn him away. Praise God, He never tires of calling and saving precious souls. He is never tired. You know, this should encourage us to wait upon the Lord when we are tired. The book says here, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Oh, I don't think there's any such thing here as a man having superhuman strength and ever getting faint or weary. Even the youths shall faint. Those in the very prime of youth, the very vigor of young manhood, God says they shall faint and the young men shall utterly fall. Yes, the saints of God do faint and they do become weary and they do fall. Ah, but listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The best of men become faint and weary. You see, we wrestle against a powerful foe. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our enemy. My friends, we are fighting a powerful foe. We are in the army of the King, an army which this foe detests and hates and abhors with all his heart and soul and strength. And so we're going to be suffering the attacks of the enemy. We're going to suffer his buffetings, his beatings. We're going to suffer all he has to hurl at us. But listen, God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we can have the strength of the untiring God on our side when we wait upon him. Praise God, our God is never tired. My, when you're weary, remember that the God of heaven is never weary at battling against the powers of darkness. And then I want you to see, thirdly, under this, considering the character or nature of this God of ours, that he is never discouraged, that he is never tired, and then he is never at wit's end. See, the word says here, there is no searching of his understanding. I think that means he is never at wit's end. God always knows the way out, even if we don't. I have had some situations in my life and ministry when I just couldn't see the way out. I just couldn't see any way out of this problem. I just couldn't see any way through this jungle, any way out of this mess. I seemed to be at, as we say, wit's end corner. There was no way forward, no way back, no way to the side, no way over and under. There was just no way. And yet God found a way. We don't always know the way. In fact, we rarely know the way. But praise God, the Lord does. You see, He has the key that we would never think of. And He has the answer that we would never find. Oh, my friends, this God of ours, He is never tired. He is never discouraged. And He is never at wit's end. And if you are at wit's end sometimes in the Lord's work, if you're at wit's end with some problem, if you're at wit's end over some aspect of the Lord's work, won't you bring it to the Lord in prayer and bring it again and again? For He is the one who has and can find and can give the answer. And He can make a way. How He made a way for those people through the Red Sea. He took them through. How He made a way for them in the very time of greatest distress and trial. God made a way through for them. Nobody else could do that. Praise God, He can make a way through for you and I. Then I wanted to see secondly this morning that these resources, the resources of this mighty God, whose character we have been considering, that the resources of this mighty God can be ours. For the promise here is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, that you and I would take this promise to heart and would act upon it. Would act upon it. Just as if a wealthy man were to give us a check and say, there you are, go down to the bank now and get the value of that. I'd be there in the morning at opening time, first thing, and I'll have it planked down and say, please, can I have the Uncle Sam's for that, the dollars, please, for that, let me have them. I get to the shop and they're burning a hole in my pocket, so that's what I would be doing. I'd be there, I wouldn't have any doubts, but I wouldn't say, well, look here, do you know this fella, is he all right? Do you think, is he dependable, or is he a bit of a chancy guy? If I knew him, I would be down. I would say, well, there's no worry about it. I would have it in, and I'd be trusting it. So with the Lord's promise. Now, let me just mention to you three things here. Discouragement, we've mentioned already. Discouragement, you see, is really, when you think about it, discouragement is really the fruit of sin. Because it's a result of the sin of prayerlessness. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was never discouraged. He prayed often. Whole nights were spent in prayer. Whole days were spent in prayer. And that is how He lived His life, in prayer. Thus He overcame discouragement. And so can you and I. My brother last week, or just before I left Toronto, he took me up to Rice Lake. Just forget the locality, but it's overlooking Rice Lake anyway. But 50 miles or so, I think it's east of Toronto, or northeast of Toronto. And there we stood at the grave of Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven was born in Banbridge in Northern Ireland. And he came to Canada when he was a fairly young man, in his 20s anyway. But he was a very well-educated young man. He went to Trinity College in Dublin, and he had a very good degree. And he was a very well-educated young man. He was about to be married, and on the night before their marriage, his bride-to-be was crossing a stream on horseback, and the horse stumbled, or something happened anyway, and she was knocked off the horse, and she was drowned before they were married. He then came to Canada, and after a period of time, he met another young woman, and again they were about to be married, and this young woman fell suddenly very ill, and she also died. So twice he was plunged into tragedy and cheated by the cold hand of death. And yet he wrote something that all of us know so well. He wrote that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." He wrote the words. And there was a man who overcame his discouragements and taught us a great deal about prayer. Just in the overcoming of those discouragements. Discouragement is the fruit of sin. Let us pray more, and we'll overcome the discouragements by the Lord's grace.
Tiredness is the result,
I feel, of us carrying the burden. We carry the burden. We lay it upon our shoulders. We go about like pilgrim before his conversion, stooped over with this great burden upon our backs. What should we do? Psalm 55 tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. Oh, may we learn this secret, this art of coming to the Lord and casting upon him the burden, bringing to him the trials and the burdens of life or work or business or church or whatever, and just laying it upon him. The Lord Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May we learn that. And then I want you to see, thirdly, that being at wit's end, of course, it's just simply the lack of wisdom. If we had the wisdom, it wouldn't be at wit's end, would we? But we lack the wisdom, and so we come to wit's end. What do we do? And we stagger about, and we stumble, and we wonder, what do we do? And we get in an awful frenzy. What shall we do in this terrible situation? Well, if we don't know where to turn, the Lord does. If we don't know the answer to the problems, the Lord does. If we can't untangle the skeins. Do you have skeins here? Do you have skeins here? Skein of wool or thread? When I was a wee fella and my mother was knitting, sometimes pussy might get hold of the ball of wool or the hank of wool, and it would soon become a tangled mess. Or sometimes those of us who were small would have a go at this knitting. Knit one, purl one, all this business. We'd try and have a go at this, and it wouldn't be long until it'd be an awful mess. And we just took it to mother because she could untangle it and bring it through the right way and leave it just the way it should be, nice and neat and tight and properly done. And you know, we sometimes find our lives are just like a tangled skein of threads going everywhere, and we just can't make head or tail of it. We'll just bring the whole thing to the Lord and say, now Lord, here it is, and wit's end, but you untangle it, you help me. James promises wisdom for it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally. Oh, there's a liberal supply of wisdom for every one of us if we'll come and ask the Lord. And I want you to see, lastly this morning, that these resources, the resources of this mighty God, are endless resources. The Bible tells us here in verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I saw one preacher who put it like this. He said, first of all, there is faith for flying. I learned to say faith properly sometime. I'm sorry about that. You see, it's two words. Well, that's two words. F. That's how you say it. It's two words. You just say one word, but we put it in two words. F. Anyway, there's faith for flying. The Bible says here, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, for us to fly would be miraculous. And yet, in the Christian and in the spiritual life, there is power for miracles. Now, I'm not talking about the charismatic miracles of healing and all that kind of stuff. I don't go much for that. I'm not talking about those kind of miracles. But because I think the miracles I'm going to talk about are far greater miracles than the miracles that they profess about healing and tongues and so on and so forth. I'm speaking about the miracles of accomplishment in the Lord's work. And I think it's a far greater miracle for the Lord to send a man into a part of the country and to establish a church and to build up a work and to preach the gospel and to see precious souls coming into a knowledge of sins forgiven and the hope of heaven, and to have them rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God, and to be built up to be strong believers to walk with him in the name of his word. That is a far greater miracle than the miracles that these charismatic counterfeits profess to have. Well, there is faith for flying. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Praise God. He will strengthen his servants. He will help and bless his people. He will cause them to mount up. He will give them the faith to fly and to accomplish miracles in his name. Miracles of church building, miracles of gospel preaching, miracles of seeing precious souls coming to know Christ as Savior and going on with God. There is faith for flying when we wait upon the Lord.
But there's also something else, for this preacher also said, there are resources for running. It says, they shall run and not be weary. Now, if you run for a while physically, you soon become weary. And you know, in the Lord's work, you can become weary. You can become weary. You run a bit, and then you get tired running. You expend all your energy. You use all your effort, and you become weary after a time. But the Lord says here that we can work to the limit of our strength. We can serve the Lord day after day. We can go on year after year for all our lifetime if we wait upon the Lord. And the history of the church has shown us history of great men who have begun well and have also ended well. They have run. I think of, just to mention one, because it's near hand, old Dr. Bob Senior. There's a man who began well and who finished his course well. Now, there's some men begin well, and after a time they go off the rails and they go off the tracks and they end up in all kinds of nonsense. But here's a man who began well and finished well, and there are many, many others like him as well. There are resources for running, to keep going at God's work day after day throughout the years. The Lord gives grace and strength when they wait upon the Lord. And then lastly, this preacher said, there is power for plodding. I like the way he puts it. There's power for plodding. They shall walk and not faint. And you know, in the Lord's work, there's also plodding work. There's also plodding work. Sometimes Mr. Cairns and I used to refer to Let the Bible Speak as the treadmill, because that's what it's like. You come in on Monday morning and you do a program, and there's just as many in front of you as there are behind you. There's no such thing as, well, we'll do six and that's it, and I will have a rest and that'll be good. There's just as many ahead of you, because each week they go out, week after week after week after week, year after year after year they go out, and there's no end in sight. And it's very often plodding work, unspectacular work, tedious work, arduous work, but it's work that must be done. It's work that must be done in the Lord's work. It's essential, necessary work. And the Lord says there's power for that. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, may the Lord give us that strength to mount up with wings and see these miracles done in His work for His name's sake. May He give us the strength to run and not be weary. And may He give us the power to walk and to not faint. May the Lord bless to us His precious word. May He write the promise upon our hearts. And may He help us to serve Him with all our hearts and to wait upon Him continually in His work. Let's bow together, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy word, that Thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than the two-edged sword. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word to us, that Thou wilt apply it to our hearts, that, Lord, Thou wilt write upon our hearts this promise, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Lord, do Thou daily and continually renew the strength of Thy people. Do Thou bless Thy church all across this great nation and the neighboring nations. Do Thou bless Thy church, we pray, to the ends of the earth this morning. Do Thou remember Thy dear and blessed saints in every part of this globe. Lord, those in Russia, those in Czechoslovakia, those in other parts behind the Iron Curtain, those at home and in Britain, Lord, do Thou remember the cause of Christ this morning to the ends of the earth. And bless Thy church with a gracious revival. Teach us, Thy people, to wait upon the Lord, and to thus renew our strength, we pray. Bless us and make us a blessing. Part us now with Thy blessing in Thy name and in Thy fear, and go with us our separate ways in safety. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.